This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Scotland Outdoors Podcast from BBC Radio Scotland.
It's 4 o'clock. In the morning. I'm on the edge of a small mixed woodland in the northeast of Scotland. There's Scots pine, beech, wild cherry or gean, and there's gorse, plus a hedge of buckthorn, wild rose, blackthorn, and rowan. Perfect habitat for birds. It's pretty dark at the moment, there's a gentle breeze, but soon nature's greatest gift to the world is about to unfold. Thank you for streaming the Scotland Outdoors podcast. I'm Ewan McElraith, and I'm going to share with you a Scottish dawn chorus. The early morning calls of the birds and some of the folklore that has woven its way into the fabric of this Celtic land. Nothing is guaranteed in the forest, but patience will be rewarded. Now, what you can hear first is a little bit of robin, but mainly the blackbird, the beautiful songster of the trees. A song which can transport you to the other side, the dark side. A song so delightful, it is said to lead to temptation. It's also said the devil can take the form of this bird, which one day flew at the face of the saint, Saint Benedict. An act which caused him to be troubled by an intense desire for a beautiful girl he had once seen. In order to save himself from the blackbird's call, the saint tore off his clothes and jumped into a thorn bush. This painful act is said to have freed him from temptation for the rest of his life. Perhaps. Now, put a blackbird feather under someone's pillow and they will tell you their innermost secrets. But back to the ancient saints of old. One story concerning the blackbird is about St. Kevin, an Irish 7th century saint who loved wildlife. It is said that in the Temple of the Rock at Glendalough, St. Kevin was praying with his hands outstretched upwards when a blackbird flew down and laid her eggs in his palm. The story goes on to say that the saint remained still for as long as it took for the eggs to hatch and the brood to fly the nest. And the whistle of the blackbird at dawn warns of rain and mist for the coming day. And here in Scotland, that's a pretty safe bet. there are many tales of robins. What makes this one so loved is its association with Christ and Easter. The reverence comes from the way the bird got its distinctive breast. In some legends, it was an all-brown bird until it was touched with the blood of Christ as he hung on the cross. In other versions, the bird sung in his ear to alleviate the agony of his final moments. In another version, attempting to pluck out the nails or the thorns from the crown. One more says it scorched its breast in the fires of purgatory, mercifully taking drops of water in its beak to the lips of the parched souls in torment. And in Celtic lands, this act has earned the bird the name Brúrúidín, breast burnt. Now somewhere, amidst all that chatter, is a goldfinch. Painfully beautiful, but an important part of marriage in this land. Now bear with me, because this is a bit of a long story, but on the morning of St. Valentine's Day, Greta was up and dressed well before the sun peeped over the horizon. For today would determine her future as a married woman. At 17, Greta already had the eye of many boys in the village. Her long auburn locks, flashing eyes black as coal, and a sultry smile had smitten numerous young men looking for a sweetheart. But she was nervous. Which to choose? Many handsome, some were poor, others ugly, and some were rich. And she was torn. A handsome husband would be a welcome thing. But she wanted more than looks. She longed for a comfortable life, a life in stark contrast to her humble existence so far. Each day she toiled in the forest, bringing in firewood, walking miles to the well, scrubbing the clothes of the rich, and often, far too often, going to bed hungry. But today, her future would be revealed, as the kingdom of the birds had it in its gift, the ability to tell the future. As Greta stepped into the woods, the dawn chorus was in full song. And somewhere in the thinning darkness of dawn was a bird that would answer the burning curiosity in her heart. As the light grew and the dark shapes became trees, she looked for the first bird of the day. If it was a blue tit, she would live in poverty. A blackbird tells of marrying a clergyman. A robin, a sailor. And if she sees a woodpecker, she will be left an old maid. As she looked skyward, a sudden sound reached her eager ears. A sound she recognised but couldn't place. Then, out of nowhere, not one but a dozen thistle tweezers tumbled towards her. A flock or a charm of goldfinches. It was going to be okay. Wealth and happiness would be her lot in her future married life. Nothing sings like Big Mavis. It's a bird which brings delight to our hedgerows and music to our woodlands. It's said the blackbird sings a song, but the dirge sings the words. It's often amongst the first to kick off the dawn chorus and dominates the silence long before the rest of the avian assembly are ready to fill the morning cacophony. Mavis from the French Mouvou, the thrush. It's an incredible bird, the size of a blackbird and a devourer of snails. They dart out of the undergrowth and latch on to the unwary mollusk. Then, at its favourite stone anvil, will smash the shell to get the soft innards. Gorgeous to look at, that delightful speckled lemon breast. And that eye that looks right through you, because a throggle does know your inner thoughts. But it's the song which makes the thrusher stand tall above all others. And it's a bird steeped in mythology. It's said to renew its legs every 10 years. Its nest is built low in a hedge at the command of the Celtic fairies, so its song would be nearer to the cots of the children. And strangest of all, it's said to be deaf, and that every dusk and dawn, the skerlock sings in search of that elusive and most precious sense, the song thrush. Now, the wood pigeon makes a really scruffy nest. Just a few bits of twigs thrown on each other without much care. And that really annoyed the magpie. There's a fable in Wales that says the magpie, observing the poor knowledge of nest building possessed by the wood pigeon, kindly undertook the work of giving his friend a lesson. And as the lesson proceeded, the wood pigeon, bowing, cooed, "I know, I know, I know." The instructor was at first pleased with his apt pupil and went on with the lesson. But before another word could be uttered, the bird, the pigeon, swelling with pride at his own importance and knowledge, said, "I know, I know, I know." The magpie was annoyed at this assurance and with bitter sarcasm said, "Since you know, you do it then." And he flew off. And that's why the wood pigeon's nest is so untidy to this day. The fable which gave rise to a proverb. As the wood pigeon said to the magpie, I know. But that whole language of cooing is known in different parts of the country very differently. That thrice repeated notes of five sounds with an abrupt note at the end have been constructed into words. In the cold spring days when food is scarce and the wood pigeon is full of good resolutions, it says, in the summer I will make a house. I will. However, when summer comes with warmth and flowers, the pigeon ridicules its former resolution and changes its song. In June, it forgets January and asks, in the summer, who'll make a house? Who? In the English counties bordering on Wales, the wood pigeon encouraged Welshmen to drive off English cattle to their homes. Take two cows, Taffy. Take two cows, Taffy. Take two. And in some parts, my toe hurts, Betty. My toe hurts, Betty. My toe hurts, Betty. Look. And finally, in Scotland, the call has been translated. As the male perches at the top of a Scots pine, a proud wood pigeon. A proud wood pigeon. A proud wood pigeon. Yes. And then there's the wren, the king of birds, a beautiful singer. But in this story, the birds of the world are gathered to see who could fly highest and so become king. The big money was on the eagle, which soared higher and higher till it was out of sight. When it could go no further, it paused, exhausted. And then from under its wing, out popped the wren, who flew just that little bit higher to claim the title, King of Birds. And finally, as the chorus draws to an end, the rooks, the bully boys of the dawn chorus. And rooks are unusual amongst the crow family as being gregarious and sociable. An old saying states, a flock of crows are rooks, and a rook on its own is a crow. Some rookeries contain hundreds of nests and are found in wooded areas and sites which are reused for years. If a rookery is abandoned, the landowner's death is imminent. If the nests are built high in the trees, it's a sign of a fine summer. And that saying, straight as the crow flies, is nonsense. It's not a crow which rambles all over the place. It's a rook flying back to its nest, straight as a die. Remember, you can email your comments to outofdoors@bbc.co.uk. Thanks for listening, and I'll leave you with the joyous call of a Scottish blackbird first thing in the morning.